This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
Hello, and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, live to tape from snowy and white and wintry wonderland that is Glen Burnie, Maryland today. Gotta love winter. What'd you say, old?
I said cold.
Oh, cold. Okay. And that, of course, is not the usual dulcet tones of my usual co-host, the usual mermaid, but someone who should be familiar to you all. It is my lovely wife, of course, Mrs. Blue Liner.
Hi, guys.
Also live to tape from another location in Glen Burnie, Maryland, also known as Upstairs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not anywhere else in Glen Burnie.
Who would be?
Yeah. Not going outside right now.
Right. So it was a, speaking of wonderful and winter, it was certainly winter, but it was a wonderful week of Caps hockey, which we'll get into in a minute. But Jenny, since you have the floor, at least as my temporary co-host for this week, unfortunately, the mermaid is feeling a bit under the weather and politely deferred this week so that she won't be on. But of course, you can catch her on Sports on the Hill tomorrow night. It is our usual Sunday time slot at around 6 o'clock in the evening as we're recording this. So you can catch her tomorrow night for Caps Talk at 9 p.m. Eastern or thereabouts with, of course, Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross hosting and maybe somebody else special that might also be chiming in. I don't know. Could be. Jeez. Don't know yet.
Are we trying to keep that a secret?
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, just maybe. Anyway, so for those of you who don't know, obviously, yes, the missus is Mrs. Blue Liner, my lovely wife. And so for the ardent followers of both our show and our Facebook page, she is what I lovingly like to call the seamstress for the band. She is responsible for the not only the original Caps COVID masks that were put out over the summer, but the recent addition in the fall that we had for the championship fabric. So most of you should know her that way. If you don't know her, of course, she's my wife of many years, also an ardent Caps fan, and grew up mostly in the frozen tundra known as North Dakota and Maine. So learned to watch a good hockey game there. So knows a fair bit about the sport. So asked her to come on with me since Anna was feeling under the weather. And also a bit of a medical update. I mentioned before, she's recently had surgery. Did you want to take some time out and explain for those who are curious?
Sure. I had arthroscopic surgery on my shoulder. Being the klutz that I am, after the recent foot surgery that I had back in June, I managed to tear the bicep tendon, and that needed to be repaired. So I am well on the way to recovery. I'm just getting a little antsy, not being able to do anything.
So what they do?
Once the arm is fully healed, I will be back into the sewing room.
Okay, good to hear. So what they do? They go in and replace a few parts then?
They tied a few parts back together, scraped out a few things, cleaned out a few things, but I'm fine.
All right. So I married the $6 billion woman. Good to know.
Yeah, between all the pieces that they're putting in and the various surgeries, yeah, if it keeps going the way it's going, yeah, it'll be the $6 million woman.
Good. Well, I got to say, I'm probably getting my money's worth, at least for the time being. I just hope your warranty doesn't run out.
It better not.
Well, that's largely dependent on the healthcare system, but that's another story for another podcast for another millennium. Thank you. Anyway, so yeah, that's my humorous way of trying to let everyone know who was curious, because I didn't mention that she was going under the knife, but you know, unfortunately had to have another surgery to correct this time an arm issue. So she's been going around the house with one arm. So, and that now is the secret revealed in the family issue that I mentioned, that we might have to juggle the podcasting schedule a bit with. But she's actually, as she said, she's getting back into the swing of things, as you can hear, very good spirits. And as she said, hoping to put out some more masks for those who want it. We actually still have a handful left of the championship masks if anyone else is interested. So inquiries, please, at the Facebook page if interested. Okay, so without further ado, as I said, a wonderful week of Caps hockey on the ice. Three games that were played, all at the Cap One Arena. First two were against Barry Trotz's New York Islanders. And the third against the Boston Bruins. We'll start with the first game this past Tuesday. 3-2 win by our Caps. Here is the scoring summary. First period, 11 minutes or thereabouts in the first. Caps went on a power play, and John Carlson throws a wrister at the net, assisted ably by Justin Schultz and Nick Backstrom for his second of the year. Islanders tied it back up a few minutes later. Noah Dobson, assisted by the ever pesky Matt Barzal and Jordan Eberle. Barzal himself came to score. Okay, so we flipped to the second period. Barzal himself scores halfway through, making it 2-1 Isles, unassisted with a backhander. And then who should come to call but a guy I've had my eye on to make it 2-2, 17-21 in the second. But a guy who is rapidly becoming one of my favorites, Daniel Sprong.
I think that's why Anna didn't do the show tonight. Because she knew it was coming.
Okay, funny lady. Anyway.
By the way, Anna, feel better soon.
Well, speaking of feel better, although I don't know that he's sick, a brief segue. Of course, before I forget, John Walton, who graciously consented to lend us his voice for the very opening and very ending of each episode a few months ago. Thank you, kind sir. Hopefully you're doing well and you're staying safe. No one is familiar with what the hell I'm talking about, of course, unfortunately, John had to take a leave of absence as he was given the information that he had been exposed to a family member who had in turn themselves been exposed to COVID-19. So just wanted to give that expose out there to those who may not have been aware. If you listen to the radio regularly, Zach Fish has been filling in ably for the last few games and will continue to do so while John is on quarantine. But good sir, Mr. Walton, do please feel better, stay safe. And if if the worst should happen, which, God forbid, which we hope it doesn't, speedy recovery and speedy return to work. God bless you. So just wanted to get that out there. Okay, so back to the scoring summary. Okay, so it's on to the third period. And this was, yeah, it was all the way. This was a nail biter.
This is the one where Schultz scored like at 27 seconds left, right?
The memory is coming back. Yes, it's
yay.
It's, yeah, but this was a nail biting, sphincter tightening, you know, type of game.
Yeah,
where,
back and forth, and oh crap, and you were yelling at the TV every other second.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know if you had maybe a recorder on for anything that I yelled. Hopefully not.
No, I'm nice. I know better.
But it's probably not suitable for work, let alone not suitable for this podcast. Anyway, so yeah, it was a good back and forth game, and then as you just heard, Justin Schultz with 27 seconds left in the game, or in regulation, pots the game winner on a beautiful pass from Garnet Hathaway as they entered the zone on a play set up by Brendan Dillon. So Hathaway and Dillon on the assist. Schultz with a laser of a shot that Craig Lachlan would call through the seven hole, that armpit area, stick side, I believe, on Semyon Varlamov. Slips it in and gets the game winner. Three stars of the game, naturally Schultz being one of them. Of course, Vitek Vanacek, more on him later, playing a stellar game, and John Carlson, who opened the scoring. So look at the vitals. Excellent shot output this game by both teams. Caps have a slight edge, 37-34. Face-off percentage, right split down the middle. Much better effort at the dot, 50-50. Kind of like my chances with well, I don't want to get into that.
Let's not.
Power play. Caps had two chances, converted on one of them. That would have been Carlson's strike. Penalty kill had a stellar night. Faced three power plays from the Islanders, shut down all three. Hits. This was kind of a low end game as far as the hits. The intensity was there, just not the hitting, not the hitting, is at least not as much. 18-14 Isles. Of course, with the number of shots, you're going to have a lot of blocks. So that those figures were high as well. Shots on goal per period, great output by the Caps, a little low in the second, but not too bad. 17-9-11 for the game, totaling 37. And Vitek Vanacek, of course, facing 34 shots on his own, stopping 32 and playing very, very well, acquitting himself very, very well. So, yeah, that's all there is to that game. Very good win. Go ahead.
We did better in the penalty department. We did only have the three penalties. Versus the eight we had the one game,
right? So yeah. So we stopped feeding the cat Ex-Lax, so managed to not make them go to the box all the time. So yeah,
so that was good. I mean, in that game, I mean, they played well. I mean, considering how it's been this year, I mean, I'm very pleased to see that we can pull stuff like that off.
Yeah,
27 seconds game.
Yeah, absolutely. Left. And the jubilation on the bench, this the ending of that game, you could tell the energy they were putting into it. It was, and the announcers even said, all the guys on the coverage even said, look, I wish as a fan you could be there, because it was absolutely electric the way the game ended and the way the team reacted. Now this is probably going to be one of those games where you look back on the season and say, okay, you know, this is something of a turning point here. The team started to get it together. And that's the feeling I got when that goal was scored, and they all, you know, I don't know if it was to them, it might have been relief, but it was also, hey, I mean, this stuff finally it's working. We're working as a team.
Right.
All right. So that was that game. So a couple nights later, back to Capital One, back to playing the same Islanders. And okay, well,
then the first period happened.
Then the first period happened. And then, not death or not necessarily disaster, although it sure
it felt like disaster going into the locker room at the end of the first period. It felt like, yeah, a disaster was brewing.
Yeah, I remember the things I shouted in the first period, and they definitely weren't very appropriate for your church, your synagogue, or mosque, or any place of worship for that matter. I probably would have been thrown out of. But let's go ahead and get to it. All right, so the scoring summary. Oliver Wahlstrom, this guy must have married the heir of both, I don't know, Walmart and Nordstrom or something. They have a name like that. Opens the scoring at 9:50 on a wrister, assisted by Jean-Gabriel Pajot. Okay, so one goal. All right, not so bad. But 18 seconds later. Let me say that again. 18 seconds later. Casey Cizikas from Cal Clutterbuck to make it 2-0. And believe you me, I was saying a lot of things that rhymed with Clutterbuck at
yes,
the TV.
Yes, you were. You most definitely were.
Which I won't repeat here.
Thank you.
Sorry, Anna. And then, 7.5 minutes later, almost to the second, Anders Lee makes it 3-0 on a power play. And yeah, this is we were all going what the Clutterbuck at that time. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and Anna's probably going to hate me for this, but unfortunately, the penalty in question was a Tom Wilson tripping penalty. Against Clutterbuck, which is what gave them the power play. But that certain someone would redeem himself later. So on to the second period. And thus the epic comeback. Spoiler alert.
Epic comeback. That's a little more than epic.
Well, we'll let the listeners judge. So 9:07 at the second.
Yeah, they took their time about it though, too, didn't they?
They took their time about it. Yes, they did. But 9:07 into the second, Caps swarm the net, put in some bodies in front of the goalie. I believe it was Varlamov again this start. And Connor Sherry gets a loose puck on the rebound. I think it was a John Carlson shot that got it in.
Yeah.
And he fires a wrister and it somehow makes its way into the net for his first of the year. And so let's see. And not very much longer after that, 1 minute, 13 seconds after that, Sherry strikes again. Sherry, baby. Sherry, baby, on an assist. This was a nice goal. You get the chance to see the replay. This one was nothing but hard work by all five skaters, assisted by Chara and Ponick. Let me just go ahead and punch up the replay if I could, just to see if I can describe it to you, and I'll kindly vamp to. Kill some time here as they play the Geico tag team ad for the 58 millionth time. Actually, I'm not getting tired of that. I don't know if anybody is. I'm not getting tired of that. All right. So, okay. Schultz throws it in. Ponick and Chara. Okay. So Ponick gets it in the corner, throws it to Chara. Chara throws it at the net, and it's a deflection by Sherry. So Schultz throws it in the corner. Ponick gets it cross ice to Chara, who flings it at the net. And Sherry, who, as I said, is not afraid to go into the high traffic, high danger area and make a nuisance of himself, even though he's not exactly the biggest of players, and does just that, gets a good stick blade on it, and taps it in for his second of the game. And then, not even a minute later, who should score and tie the game, but one of my favorites, Garnet Hathaway, streaking down the wing, the right wing, a la Jacob Vrana. Dowd picked up the loose puck in his end, got it over to Haglund, who found Hathaway clearing the neutral zone and skated it in and did his best to imitate a human cannonball at the end. But he gets it in, and it's 11-11 at the second, very fortuitous, and ties it up at 3-3. For anybody who likes numerology, that's a lot of double numbers. His second of the year, and the route is pretty much on, even though not too many of us knew it at that point. But so at that point, it had been, let's see, 2 minutes and 4 seconds, three goals, not bad. And then the Caps got a power play. And this was put together with perfection. Justin Schultz and Nicholas Backstrom assisting on John Carlson's third of the year. Nice slapper from the power play point. And then the one that probably electrified everything.
Definitely.
Zdeno Chara, about 4 minutes later, makes it 5-3. With an absolute blast from the point. Michael Scarbosa, who's also quickly becoming one of my favorites, and Justin Schultz on the assists. And yeah, this was a thing of beauty. The entire bench erupted. They couldn't have been happier. You had guys sitting up, standing up on the bench, and as Alan May pointed out, they were still shorter than Chara.
Yeah. But I love how that image of the entire bench, it didn't matter. I mean, they didn't even wait for fist bumps. They swarmed Chara at the end of the bench. I mean, I love that. That just shows how much of an impact that he's made to the team already.
That he has. That he most certainly has. And to tie up the clincher, it was Tom Wilson with an empty netter to make it 6-3, something of a redemption for his earlier trip to the sin bin, and thus endeth the game. That would be Wilson's fourth of the game. Now, okay, so refresh my memory. It was not this game that Wilson was hurt.
I believe this was Wilson's first game back.
Ah, yes. You're right. You are right. Hence why he wouldn't have shown up on the score sheet in the last game. And he looked a little off to me.
A little stiff.
Yeah,
stiff.
I don't know if Tom Wilson fans would appreciate your putting the words little and stiff together when describing him in the same sentence.
No, but he skated like he was okay to be out there skating, but he didn't want to push it. If you get what I mean. I mean, I can understand that coming back from injuries myself where, yeah, I feel great, but you know what? I'm still going to take it easy. And that's what he looked like to me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. So when you put it that way, yeah, it makes sense to, dumb people like me who, doesn't understand what it takes.
Well, you know what it takes to come back from an injury.
Well, yeah, I do, but not as much as others. So it was nice for, 43 to get himself, back in the game. And he needed this. He needed this game back. Like you said, maybe not 100%, but sometimes you need a game back. And he needed this game back to get back into game shape. And it would prove worthy later on. All right, so that's right. As electrifying as the game before was. This was another defining game in that this is probably the first time the Caps had fallen into any kind of major adversity that most other teams would find that they would pack up and just quit. And this team did not. All right. So here are the vitals of the 6-3 win. Shot total, much more pitiful output for the Caps, 23-30 for the Islanders.
Yeah, that sucks. And here's what's worse. The third period, there was only one shot.
Only one. Yeah. And they kind of got away with, I think they demoralized the Islanders enough so that that didn't matter as much, but they kind of got away with one there because the Islanders still managed 11 shots in the third. But yeah, you don't want to get out of any period with just one shot on goal ever.
No.
If that can be helped. Face off, not as good, 44.6 win percentage, mind you. Obviously we shouldn't have to remind everybody, but this is two games now where they've played really great without Kuznetsov, without Ovechkin, without Samsonov, and without Orlov.
And this is the game in the third period that we lost Backstrom. No, not this game. That was the game before. We lost Backstrom and Eller the third period last game. Not this game, sorry.
Yeah, no, Eller, right. Eller got hurt in the first game against the Islanders. That's who I was trying to think of as far as who got missing. Schultz,
so we were also missing Eller, and then Schultz got hurt in this game.
Schultz got hurt towards the end of this game. So the ranks, they be depleting, but the Caps keep on a winning somehow. Special teams, 2 out of 3 on the power play, pretty good. 3 chances given to the Islanders, only 1 goal surrendered, good. Another low-key game as far as hits, 19-15 Islanders. And as I already mentioned, shots on goal per period. Well, if you shoot the puck at the net with people in front of it, stuff happens. Especially if you do it 14 times, which the Caps did in the second period. And then the production, as we already mentioned, drops off a cliff. Looking over the penalties.
It was only 3.
Yeah, that's true. And nothing really of note. Hathaway, a holding penalty. You don't really want to see that.
And that iffy one against Sonic for the interference in the third.
Yeah, that was kind of a cheapie, I thought. And I did not much care for the ref's performance in these two games. Really cheap penalties, and ironically enough, 18-12, Matthew Barzal got himself thrown out for saying something to the ref about a call he made. So.
That's funny because the call wasn't even on him.
Yeah, it wasn't on him, and honestly, the game was more skewed against the Caps if you want to look at it that way. But anyway, great win, 6-3 win, and also in regulation. Trying to break the trend where they put in some overtime, unlike last week. Okay, so it's on to Saturday, and the first game against a team that a lot of folks have as a cup contender, if not the winner this year, the Boston Bruins. And, well, score sheet kind of says otherwise, but...
Well, hang on a second. We have to notice that this is the return of Ovi. Ovi is back playing.
Yeah, and
We do have some of that starting to come back.
But what I was going to tie into that was this was a very slow start for the team. Much like Alex Ovechkin was very slow in coming back.
Yes, and he also had not been on the ice for 10 days.
True.
I mean, you sit on your butt for 10 days, and how much movement are you going to do?
Not very.
Okay.
And so, I think it's been more than 10 days, actually, but who's counting?
All right. You don't need to share that kind of information.
Okay. Anyway,
let's get started.
Yeah. So, scoring summary. Okay. So,
my man Nicky in the first period.
Yeah, but before I get to that, I just wanna. I want to skip down to one of the vital stats here because it's very important.
Those vital stats look horrible, though.
And to reiterate, a very slow start for the Caps. You want to know how many shots they allowed in the first period alone?
19. Yeah.
19 shots. And thank goodness we had a goalie who stopped all of them.
Yes, because that game could have gone a whole different way.
Well, Vitek Vanacek, or V-squared as I like to call him, certainly on his game here, stopping all 19. And Backstrom, as you said, 18:06 in the first. Taking advantage of the fog that had built up around Tuukka Rask because of our lack of initial scoring chances. Potts a wrister unassisted. He actually, if I remember, it's unassisted. So I'm going to look up the replay. I think he stole the puck, if I recall. French vanilla, rocky road, blah, 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 blah. Scoop. There it is. Ah, here we go. Okay, so plays developing. Okay, Backstrom picks up the puck. Okay, yeah. Not exactly a steal. You know what? Yeah, it was. Look at it again. But, yeah, it looks like he took the puck from Patrice Bergeron. Now I'm running the replay again. They're scrumming. Bergeron fans on it, and Nicky steals it, wrists it in the high slot. Bang, goal. Yep. And, it's made more obvious by the fact that Patrice Bergeron looked a little more like Tom Bergeron there and whiffed on it. And Nicky stole it and puts it away for the opener. So 1-0 Caps, end of first. Here we go. Okay, so on to the second period. And another new acquisition, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, with his first. He Van Reams it towards the goal after getting it from Backstrom and Dylan on a wrister. And you can set your DVR to TVR because he pots it and makes it 2-0 Washington. And let's see. On to the third. Richard Ponick on a goal that... look like would be credited to Tom Wilson at first, who was absolutely well, he was neither little nor stiff in this game.
No, he was skating much more like Tom Wilson should be skating.
Right. And so basically made this play, but they gave the goal to Ponick. It was on the power play. I'm going to call up the replay on this one. Okay, so the description says Wilson corrals a loose puck after faceoff win, snipes it in off Richard Ponick for okay, so they credited Ponick. Okay, so Ovechkin started the play by it was kind of a broken play. Ovechkin tried to throw it into the corner, looks like, or towards the net, and it squibbed over to Wilson, and Ponick provided the screen and actually hit off him, so the scorers gave him the goal. So Wilson threw it from the left circle, and it hit Ponick enough that it got past Rask on the power play. Another excellently executed power play, and Ponick gets his first of the year, so he is no longer Jake the Snake Bit. That's Verana. That's not Ponick.
And Verana's not been Snake Bit this year.
No, he hasn't either. Okay, so that makes it 3-0 Washington, which at that point, as the men and women of the TV coverage were quick to point out, made for 9 unanswered goals by the Caps until 17:32 in the third period, when Nick Ritchie put one away to unfortunately spoil the shutout bid on a Bruins power play. So, okay, thinking not too bad, but in the back of my mind, I'm also thinking, I had to be honest, 3-1. Where have I seen this before? Worst lead in all of hockey. And unfortunately, my fears proved true. Because a certain big nose rat, 603 in the third, insinuated himself, McAvoy and Bergeron on the assist, makes it 3-2. And then, coming down to the last minute of play, Bruins emptied their net, and McAvoy gets his first of the year, with Pastrnak and Bergeron assisting on that one. More sphincter tightening, more nail biting, more sandwich eating, more unpleasantness all around. As, oh boy, oh again, we go to overtime. But fear not, would not be a long night, as Ovechkin finally decided to wake up, and 28 seconds in, pots his career 708th of the year, second of the year, 708th of his career, 28 seconds in, an absolute laser of a wrist shot. And look, Tuukka Rask is a pretty damn good goalie, but he was pretty raked over the coals after this game. Mr. Rask was taken to task mightily, because it looked like he had just given up on the goal and not even seen the shot. So I don't know if it was so much that, or just, you know, Ovechkin had just finally gotten enough playing time under him. What did you said something about what did he do? He was, the coach limited him and it to how much?
Yeah, the coach said after the game that he wanted to keep Ovechkin to under 15 minutes, because it was his first game back in 10 days. He kept him under the 15-minute mark. He was 14:24 ice time. And like Coach had said during the after game, he's like, Ovi looked ready. He looked like he needed to be out there on that ice, so I let him go. So the rest did him well, not playing his 20 minutes and whatnot that he normally does. The rest did him well. And he came back and he went boom.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Boom went the dynamite, thus ended the game. Although it had to go into OT, although for not very long, thank goodness.
Right, but it didn't go to the dreaded.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, probably the best thing about this week. It didn't go to that thing that
you don't like, and I didn't say.
That thing that I really, really don't like talking about. Yeah. Okay. So this was, this was kind of a crazy game.
And this, unfortunately, was a very one-sided game for most of the game.
Yeah. Except for maybe that the end of the first I would say, I want to say 22 minutes, the end of the first, last 2 minutes of the first, and maybe like almost the whole second period belonged to the Caps. And then, yeah, everything fell back.
Wait a minute. Okay, the last 2 minutes. Okay, never mind. I'm okay with that statement. I was going to say, wait a minute. They had 19 shots on goal. How did we maintain that period? No, never mind. I'm okay. Sorry.
Well, because Backstrom scored and
right.
Yeah,
and
if you survive,
on, yes.
If you survive 19 shots and don't give up a goal, yeah, that's fine. But you're even better
don't
off.
Don't give up 19 shots.
That too. But if you're also ahead on the score sheet, that's even better.
Well, right. We got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say that too. I won't say that, but you can say that.
Well, okay, look at your stats. I mean, 43 shots, and we had 23. How are you going to score if you don't shoot?
This is true. This is very true, and I had hoped they learned from Coach Laviolette's system that if you put bodies in front of the net and shoot, oh my goodness, what a concept. You get goals.
Oh,
you get scoring opportunities. You get chances to convert. Holy hell. What a concept.
I know.
It's so nice.
We need somebody who can take face-offs and win face-offs.
Tis true. Tis also very true. I know you had a couple of observations on that. I'll get to that in a second. But I just want to say how nice it is to have a coach that knows what he's doing and can plan an attack strategy as well as a defensive strategy, right?
Oh, I know. It's been great watching this year. It really has been so far.
Night and day with this team, obviously. But you had yet another observation about the faceoffs.
Is this the one about Oshie?
Yes.
Okay. Well, because Eller has been out the last two games, Coach decided to move Oshie as to center on the second line. And I'm like, okay, that was a little iffy to me. But then again, I thought about it and I looked at it and he was right. He puts Oshie in and Oshie takes face off while he's on the power play. I'm like, okay, this might work. Ponick scored. Who else has scored while Oshie's been on that second line? That second line has been really productive, I think. With Oshie as center, it just seems to work.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It seems like all four lines are clicking, but yeah, Oshie at center for whatever reason does seem to work. I fear though that this is probably going to be just a short-term fix.
Oh yeah, it's going to be short-term until Eller gets back, and hopefully Eller will be back shortly.
Because right, and not only that, but your center position is when you're a center, you're mostly relied on for puck possession and setting up of scoring chances.
Right.
Your wingers are normally your shooters. And if anything, TJ Oshie is a shooter.
Right.
So.
But he's got the possession skills. I mean, because you've seen how he's caped. He's able to keep the puck in control and do what he needs to do. So I think out of what we have on the team and not having the center, a seasoned veteran center available, I think Oshie was definitely the right pick to fill in that spot while Eller's on the mend.
True, but and not to look, we're not going to disparage Connor McMichael and Mike Scarbosa, who have admirably filled in the middle tier center slots in both Kuznetsov's and Eller's absences. Scarbosa in particular, I think, has played quite well.
Yeah, he's been playing really well.
Hasn't shown up on the score sheet as much, but the one game, the game we went to in Hershey to see the Cup,
right?
He was the only Bear who scored in that game, and he impressed me that game. I liked what I saw out of him then.
Mm-hmm. And I like what I see how he's fitting in with the team here, too. I mean, I think it was on one of the pre or post game shows, they interviewed him, and he seems like he's fitting right in, not a problem. I mean, he's skating well to coach's regime and everything. So I think we've got what I'm loving is the depth that we're seeing, even with the number of players that have been out due to injury and COVID protocols and everything else. The fact that we're able to keep winning is amazing.
Right, you are, and so kind of a segue into that, but before I do, I have something I want to share with everybody, but before I get to that, let's wrap up this last of the three games. Again, 43 shots on goal that Vitek Vanacek faced. He stopped 40 of them. If ever the phrase "he stood on his head" applied, I think it applies here. Power play chances were absolutely ridiculous. Caps only got one and converted them. You're telling me the Bruins did not trip foul, knock down, restrain, commit bodily harm or attempt to?
They didn't. We're just saying the referees and the umpire, the linesmen didn't call any.
Yeah. So, you guys in the stripes, you're getting an early Christmas package. I'm getting you a Groupon for Lens Crafters or America's Best Eye Care in the mail. So,
oh, but I like these next numbers, but really nice.
The hits.
We went to town on Boston.
Yeah, Caps were certainly into this game. Hits wise, which is surprising when you I've got other things I'm remembering here. I'm kind of wishing, not that I'm probably digging myself a hole here, not that you're not doing a good job, but I was kind of I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, you're talking about Fred, you're trying to beat up on Will on Tommy.
Yeah. Let me get
the
word.
Little boy was trying to beat up on Tommy.
The guy looked like Doogie Howser, for crying out loud.
Right, that little itty bitty boy was trying to beat up on Tommy.
And he was having none of it.
Nope, he did. He's like, see ya, get out of my face.
So that, that whole thing looked to me like another round of Godzilla versus Bambi. I don't know what he was thinking. I know what he was thinking. He was trying to, his team was down 3-0, and he was trying to spark his team, but get your face potentially smashed in permanently.
Yeah.
What good would have come out of that, really? Honestly. But you were saying about the depth of this team, and more to the point, the fact that newer guys like Scarbosa are welcome, and the team is quickly bonding. I want to read something that a friend of the show who runs one of the better Caps Facebook fan pages, Caps Fans. It's just simply called Caps Fans. Posted something earlier today. I copied it. I'm going to read it word for word. Again, his name is Mike Stepp, runs the Caps Fans Facebook fan page. Ever notice how a player who has played for a rival so long comes to the Caps and seems to immediately fit in? Or they acclimate well with our boys like Dylan or Haglin, now Chara? The atmosphere these guys have in the locker room is one to be envied across all sports. I've watched hockey, football, and baseball since I was little, and in all those years across those sports, I've never seen such camaraderie with new guys in all my life. It is so rare to see it the way the Capitals do it. I have hated Chara for a long time, Haglin too, and Connor Sheary. And then they throw on a Cap sweater and whammo. They don't just wear the uniform. They become Capitals. Watching Z lay out the rat twice last night was pure gold. But watching the entire Caps bench celebrate when Z scored against the Islanders, that was the moment I knew we would love him here. End quote. And Mike could not have observed or said it better myself. I think that is one of the key elements to this team. And this is what has gotten them through overtime games, extended games, adversity, lots of injuries and key missing players from the lineup and so forth, is probably the most unbeatable chemistry in the league right now. And
They've got some awesome chemistry going on. And that's actually really funny because that was what the pregame was talking about yesterday. One of the questions, what matters most, chemistry or points? And we've talked about it ourselves. I know you and I have discussed it when I was on the show last year. You've got to have the chemistry for the team to work well together.
It's an absolute must, especially come playoff time. And if they've built it this well 2 weeks into this abbreviated season, then hopefully they'll have it down, you know, even better come playoff time. Not trying to get ahead of ourselves here, but if they can keep this momentum going all the way through May, or, well, all the way through April at least, and then beyond, which is when the playoffs will start, so much the better. I think we expect great things, obviously, from this team. But as I like to say, we make the Caps fan the star. I think that was a very astute point by Mr. Stepp. And so I just wanted to share that with everybody. That was the week that was. Getting to the coming attractions. So the rest of the schedule through next week, at least, and more. Monday, well, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop. This will be the last game in the homestand at Capital One against the dreaded Bruins once again. Caps then have 2 days off. Do not play again until Thursday when they go up to the Madison Square Garden and face the Rangers. Then it's home again for two games against the Flyers, another good litmus test. And then two on the road back in Buffalo, of all places. And that rounds out mid-February. So we'll stop the preview there. All right, so three games, three wins, two of them in regulation, two of them very impressive. The one that was not impressive was still pretty good in some sense. And there you have it. So did you have any other observations, thoughts, complaints, divorce decrees?
No, I think I'm good. I'm truly enjoying watching them play this year, though. They just seem to have so much more energy, and there's so much more. There's just so much more this year. I mean, I know with everything going on, you figured, okay, well, they're just going to come out and do what they do and be at that. But, I mean, they bring so much energy to that ice every night. Watching the stuff with Oshie during warm-ups, it's like, you know, I want a job where I can go to work as excited every day as Oshie does. That's what we need to strive for.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looks like he has so much fun.
It's infectious energy that rubs off on all the team. And, you know, I don't want to pick nits here, but I saw somebody actually complaining about that, that they shouldn't be engaging in that nonsense. You know, the pregame rituals where they do the secret handshakes and they'll smacking each other on the butt with the sticks and all that.
Okay, athletes, let them have their routines, let them have their rituals, let them bring that energy onto the ice from the locker room and let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bonding. It's a bonding moment. It brings them closer together. And if this is the end result, so much the better. What's to complain about?
I don't think there is anything at all to complain about. They have their routines. They've got their rituals. They've got it down. And they've got that team. Everybody is a part of that team. I mean, I don't think I've seen anybody not be part of Oshie's rituals. So he connects the entire team and gets everybody hyped up and ready to go. And they're out there doing their best and they're having fun. And it shows.
True enough. Okay. So I think that'll do it for another week of Caps Hockey. Let's hope this one coming up is just as successful. So not for Anna Knox this week, but for Mrs. Blue Liner on Point. This is the Blue Liner on Point. Signing off for this episode and reminding you that a snowman with a six-pack would be called the abdominal snowman.
I'll get you for that one later.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps!
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.